right, let's turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're going to start in verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. Matthew 16, 13. So what I hope and what I pray is that that you guys that you want to be there when we stand face to face with the Ancient of Days, and you want to be there when we are eating and drinking in the Kingdom of God. You don't want to be cast into outer darkness. You want to be there. You want to be there. I hope and I pray that right now you want to be actually, actively seeking the Kingdom of God, submitting to the rule and reign of King Jesus in your life right now. Like, you want that. I hope you want that. And I think also, and I hope also, and I pray also, that you want to be convincing other people to join you.
Yes.
You want other people in on this.
Yes.
Is there anything greater than the fact that the Ancient of Days knows your name? Wow. His kingdom is forever, and he knows your name. Don't you want people in on this?
Yes.
Is there any greater joy on earth than knowing that one day we're going to eat and drink and rule and reign with the Ancient of Days and our joy is going to be complete? Don't we get actual joy right now from knowing that one day our joy is going to be complete?
Yeah.
Isn't it good? Don't we want people in? And don't we want, when we go to sleep at night, don't we want to know that we're in?
Yes.
Don't we want to know that we're in?
Yes.
I don't trust Amazon reviews. You know, I go to buy my wife a romantic gift, like a dishwasher or a Swiffer or an exercise bike, you know, something just says, hey, I love you. So I want to grab the best one off Amazon. And this one's got 175 five-star reviews. But what if those 175 people are morons? Are they the same people who usually vote in elections? Yeah, I don't want those five-star reviews. I don't know if this person's an idiot. So we have to have a better source, right? We want an expert to weigh in on this. Jesus weighs in on this.
Amen.
Matthew 16. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. That's all, I mean, those are good. Those are all good people to be, but that's not the right answer. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter, speaking for the group per usual, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the long-awaited King. You are Him, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed to you this, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you find on earth shall be found in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's going to happen. And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Let's pray together. Jesus, you are the Ancient of Days. Your kingdom is forever. And you know my name. There are times when the dread of night overwhelms my soul. There are times where I have one comfort. I have one hope in life and death, and it is you. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Glories. One day, our joy is going to be complete. We are going to eat and drink in the kingdom of God. We are going to rule and reign with the King of Kings. Until then, help us to submit to your rule and reign in our hearts and lives. Help us to convince other people to come along with us. Only you can do this. Thank you so much for what David said yesterday morning. Thank you so much for the, just the truth that there's no way we seek the kingdom of God without the King.
Yeah.
Help me never to forget that little sentence. Help us this morning in Christ's name, in your almighty name. Amen. So Jesus weighs in. He weighs in Matthew 16. He says, you want to eat and drink with me someday? You want to be in? You want to submit to me along the way? You want to convince other people? Here's where we start. Here's what we have to have. I'm going to give you one thing. We've had three really good wide-lens sermons. We are going to narrow our focus way down. We're going to narrow way down. We're going to get very specific. And we're going to say there's one thing that we have to do. There's other things we can do. There's other good things. But if you don't have this one thing, the rest of your good things won't matter nearly as much. If you want to wholeheartedly seek the kingdom of God, then you have to wholeheartedly commit to the local church.
Yeah.
And by local church, I mean the biblically faithful local church. Matthew 16, it's only twice in the book of Matthew that anybody says the word church.
Right.
Only happens twice. Right? And we got the first one right here in 16, 13 through 20, and we're going to do another one in 18, 15 through 20 in a minute. Only two times, the whole book of Matthew, Jesus mentions church. Right. We have some seminal, some conceptual, some very early moments in church history here.
Right.
And I want you to see why when we say wholeheartedly commit to a local church, we have to say with it a biblically faithful local church. Because at the very beginning, what happens at the very beginning, verse 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." From the very beginnings, a healthy biblical church has been built on a right confession of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It is the church from moment one has to proclaim Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord.
Amen.
From the very, very beginning. You do not have a local church if you are not faithful to the Word of God.
Right.
If you are not committed and submitted to the Word of God. From the very beginning, the local church has to be faithful to the Word of God. If you attend a church, that does not submit itself in every way it possibly can to the Lordship of Jesus, then leave that church.
Yes.
Because it's not a church. I don't know what it is, But the New Testament will tell us it's not a church. So from the very beginning, it's got to be a biblically faithful local church. And then Jesus says to him, after Peter rightly confesses who Jesus Christ is, he is the long-awaited king. After Peter rightly confesses who Jesus Christ is, and then he says in verse 18, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Jesus now is introducing for the first time in the New Testament the word church. Never been mentioned before. First 15 chapters, doesn't show up. It's been kingdom this and kingdom that. And throughout the rest of the gospel, it's mostly kingdom this, mostly kingdom that. Jesus is intent on that word kingdom. It gets used a lot. The apostles are intent on that word kingdom. It gets used a lot. And so why does Jesus switch it up here in this little passage? Why is he using a completely different word? Why does he jump from one set of rails to another set of rails? Well, my argument this morning is that he doesn't.
Amen.
He doesn't. Because when you and I are eating and drinking with the Ancient of Days, and we look around and we see who's with us, you know who we're going to see? The church. The church. And what I submit to you this morning, and I like that Sean has a microphone. He took a microphone over there. That's weird, right? Makes me think he's just stand up. He disagrees. And maybe yesterday he said there's this verse in Revelation I love, and he said preach it at my funeral. It almost sounded like he said I'm going to preach it at my funeral because I don't trust you, to be honest. That was the vibe I got. You can preach it, but if you do a crappy job, which I think you will, I want you to play one of my old sermons. And then bury me in a fall of good. So, he stands up, that's fine, I'll sit down. What I'm going to submit to you this morning is this. When you gather with a biblically faithful local church, you're seeing a little foretaste.
Amen.
You're seeing a little foretaste of it.
Yeah,
it's
true.
You know, it's kind of like communion. Communion in some ways is lame. That cracker and that Baptist Belgian grape juice we drink, that little, not even a shot glass of it, you know? What are we doing here? But what it does is it whets our appetite for when we feast with the King of Kings.
Oh,
it is real and it is good because it creates in us a longing to be with Jesus.
Amen.
And to feast with Him forever.
Yeah.
Glorious. That's what the local church is. It's crackers and grape juice and it's name we got issues. But it is a very real foretaste.
Yeah.
When the kingdom comes in full.
Well,
and when our joy is full.
Well,
it's a real foretaste.
Good.
And not only is it a foretaste we see in these verses, it's what Jonathan Lehman is a pastor who is, I think he might have OCD, because he's only ever written on this one subject, right? Like, this is his thing. He loves this subject, and he just hammers on it. It's great. And I love reading him. I agree with a lot of what he says. And he calls the local church an embassy. And I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
You know, you live in Paris, France, or somewhere, and you're a U.S. citizen.
That's right.
You can go to the embassy in Paris, France, and they can actually speak for the U.S. government.
Right. Yeah.
They can say, "Yeah, you're a citizen in good standing." No, you're not. Yeah. Jesus is saying in these verses, the church can do that.
Right.
The church can do that.
Yeah.
He says in verse 19 to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And there's a lot of fun debate on the extent of what this verse means. But when we look at Matthew 18, we're going to see that it definitely means at least this. So, very careful, we have to say this part of it. The biblically faithful local church. I'm going to say biblically faithful every time I say local church, probably just because we have to. The biblically faithful local church has the right to say who's in and who's out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
the biblically faithful local church has the Jesus-sanctioned right to say, here's who's in the kingdom, here's who we can expect to be eating and drinking and ruling and reigning with us, and here's who's not. Let's scoot over to Matthew 18. Let's see the other passage where Jesus uses the word church. And I hope that when we're here, you'll see it. You'll see it in the text. Jesus is going to use a lot of the same language here. It is fascinating to me that the two times Jesus talks about the church, he's talking about kingdom authority.
Right?
It's fascinating to me. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. What we have here is we have church discipline.
Yeah.
If your brother sins against you, wow, just, man, if your brother sins against you, I mean, this is someone you're convinced is going to eat and drink and rule and reign with you, with the Ancient of Days forever. This is your brother.
Yes, sir.
This is your brother. Hold on to that. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And look at this. If he refuses to listen even to the church, even to the local assembly, the local embassy that I have sanctioned with my authority, if he doesn't listen to them, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector.
Yeah.
Redesignate him.
Right, sir.
Reclassify him. You called him brother, now you call him an outsider. You said you were in, you're out now. You're out now. You're a committed sinner. You're a Gentile and a tax collector. That's code for you're out. You're out.
Good stuff.
That was your problem. Now he's out. The church has the right to reclassify people.
Yes.
The church has the right to relabel people. That's what verses 19 and 20 are about.
That's what it says.
This is what we do goofy stuff with this, Bill.
This is
19 and 20. This is great. You know, because Bill's great aunt Marjorie has she's got this messed up toenail, and she's not walking like she used to. So Bill and I, we gather at a coffee shop.
I agree with
Bill that a great aunt Marjorie needs cash for a toe. Replace whatever. I don't know. Anyhow. So I agree with Bill. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, we agree.
Yeah, we agree. No, that's the stupidest. No, that has nothing to do with this. We do that all the time. We end our prayer sessions, we agree together. So, what? No. That's not what this is about.
No, sir.
This is about church discipline.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. And the agreement there in Jesus' name. Okay, look, if my son says, oh my God! If they use the name God as an expletive when they hit their finger with a hammer, I'll get after them. We don't use the name of the Lord in vain.
Yeah.
We don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
We don't do it. But you know what happens a lot? We say in Jesus' name, Amen, to a bunch of garbage.
Right.
We don't say, because this is about, the name of Jesus is about the authority of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the word of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's about the kingship of Jesus. It's about the will of Jesus.
Well,
so when we're gathering together, we are gathering together in agreement that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And so we're begging for discernment. We're begging for humility.
Yeah.
We're begging for wisdom, because we're about to reclassify somebody.
Yes.
We're not goofing around.
Right.
This isn't our great aunt Co. This is whether or not we consider this person that yesterday we called brother, if we're going to start saying, no, they're an outsider now. We're begging for God's help, and we're agreeing together that Jesus Christ is Lord, His Word is pure, and by their fruit you shall know them.
Right, yes.
Here's what it means to live in accordance with the gospel. Here's what it means to live submitted to the kingship of Jesus. And here's what it doesn't mean. And they're over there. So we have to treat them like that. And we hate that.
Right. Yes.
So let's gather together. Be bound by submission to the word and to the lordship of Jesus. And we agree together.
Good.
We reclassify somebody. Only the local church is sanctioned by Jesus to do this.
That's right.
Now, can the local church get it wrong? Mine doesn't, but yours might. I've heard tell it's possible. No, yeah, we get it wrong. This is why we're thankful that Peter isn't held up in Scripture as some sort of infallible pope, right?
Yeah.
He's not some infallible pope. I mean, because in Matthew 16, Jesus gives the keys to Peter. But it becomes clear in Matthew 18, where Peter's not mentioned, that this is for the church. Peter in 16 represented the church.
Yeah.
And we see he has a lot of prominence in the first several chapters of the book of Acts. But we also see Peter gets it wrong sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter needs to be rebuked.
Yeah.
Peter needs to be changed and sharpened by the word of God. Right. Peter is submitted to the other pastors.
Yeah.
So, and all of them are submitted to the word of God.
Amen.
So this is only as good as this authority that the church has is only as good as their submission to the word of God.
That's right.
We understand that.
Amen.
And we know for sure some churches get it wrong. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we say, yeah, that person's in. Turns out they were not in.
Yeah.
There's no way they were in. I don't know what they were, but they weren't in.
Amen.
And then we say that person's out. Yeah, maybe we jump the gun on that.
Right.
We can goof stuff up.
Yeah.
But, you know, parents get it wrong sometimes too. Does that mean we overthrow God's good design?
No.
No, it doesn't. In case you're wondering, that was a historic question. Jesus has given unique kingdom authority to the biblically faithful local church. That was my first point. I already said it. Jesus has given unique kingdom authority to the biblically faithful local church. My first main argument, my first main point. Here's my second. This is going to take a second to write down. If you want to commit yourself wholeheartedly to the kingdom of God, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to a biblically faithful local church.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the Jesus-sanctioned way to have assurance that He knows your name, that you're going to feast with Him, that you're going to rule and reign with Him, that your joy is going to be complete, that He's not going to cast you into outer darkness. Here's the path forward for assurance. Here's the Jesus-sanctioned way, the Jesus-sanctioned path forward to submit to Him as King. And here's the Jesus-sanctioned way to work your tail off trying to convince other people to join you. You commit yourself wholeheartedly to a biblically faithful local church. Now, how do we do that? Well, number one, make sure your local church is biblically faithful.
Yeah.
Right? Not easy. You gotta read their statement of faith. You hop on their website, you can't find their statement of faith. That's a red flag. That's a red flag. Make sure your local church is biblically faithful.
Yeah.
So that means you have to be a lifelong student of the Word of God.
Okay.
That means you have to listen intently to the sermons. You need to go to Sunday school.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you call it. Discipleship Institute 101 for burgeoning Christians. You know, your millennial class, your Gen X class, your Gen Z class, your digital native class. whatever it is, call it whatever you want to call it. Go, listen. Go and listen. Listen for the word of God. Is your church committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ? And they're committed to submitting truth of to the truth of Scripture as they find it. Make sure your church is biblically faithful. That's number one. Number two, join it. Join your local church. Join your local church. Join your local church. Join it. What we call beating a dead horse. Join your local church. It's a little lot like coaching elementary soccer. You only need 7 phrases. Just say the same ones over and over. That's what I'm doing this sermon. Join your local church. My church doesn't have membership. Find a different church. That's an overgeneralization. That's a knee-jerk reaction. That's not speaking the truth in love. That's not being kind. Sean Harris is all about being kind. I'm not being about it. I'm not about being kind. That's not. God told me to be kind. I've got kindness down. I already speak in love. Now I'm working on speaking the truth. One of these days I'll put them together, you know? Why? Why do we have to have membership in a local church? Why? Well, because it's biblical. We don't know for sure how church membership worked in New Testament times. We don't know for sure, but we know people were added to the number. We know Paul said, you don't eat the Lord's Supper until everyone's there. So there was an everyone. There was a group. There's a list of names.
Well said.
There's a list of names. They were baptized and added to the number. There's a list of names, and they were added to it. And they gathered together and they agreed with one another. So they were gathered around the Bible. They were gathered around, here's how the Father has revealed the Son to us. Here's what it means to trust Him and to submit to Him. Local church membership. Right there in the New Testament. There's a definite number. Here's the thing. If you and I go to the same church, and I've joined, and you haven't, your encouragement to me and your rebuke of me means far less.
That's right.
It carries very little weight. Because you haven't taken the time to officially commit yourself to the teaching and the life of that local church.
Amen.
Right.
Your pastor is going to stand and give account for the way they cared for your soul.
Right, that's right.
Join the church so they know who they're going to give account for.
Right.
That's good. Do them a solid. If you can't in any way remove me from membership, you can't vote to remove me from membership of the church, I don't care what you have to say.
Yeah.
And if you haven't publicly committed yourself to the same thing I've publicly committed myself to, your encouragement carries very little.
Yeah.
Very little. You can't hold me accountable in any true sense of the word to the kingship of Jesus because you are not accountable in any actual, tangible, seeable way to the kingship of Jesus. Join your local church. This is a lot like someone who says to me, I'm a basketball player. They don't say I'm a basketball player. They know I'm not a basketball player. They say that they're a basketball player. Mike Jeremy tells me he's the best. That's too comical for there's no way. Daniel Whiting says to me, I'm a basketball player. I say, oh, sweet, I want to come watch one of your games. Oh, I don't have games. Your team doesn't have games? Oh, I don't have a team. You're not a basketball player. That's what we're looking at here. That's what we're looking at here. Commit yourself to the lordship of Jesus by committing yourself to His sanctioned, biblically faithful local church.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. Okay, so I hope that this doesn't... actually, I don't care. I live in a different state. I You know, this one of the stupidest things I hear, and I hear it all the time. It's almost as stupid as Bill and I agreeing together about a gradient toe. This is almost as stupid. It's right up there. Is people who say, yeah, I'm not a big local church guy. You know, Pastor Sean, I like what you're doing over there. That's cool. It's good for you. I like to visit churches in Fayetteville. I like to
right.
here and there. And I'm more of a kingdom guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know what this world needs? You know what your friends, your coworkers, you know what they need? They need clear parameters of who's in and who's out.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
This world is built on, if it feels really true inside me, then it's true.
Yeah.
That's what this world is built on. That is the highest virtue. The highest virtue, the highest truth, the highest good in this world is if I feel it deep inside me. If I just really think it's true, then it's true. This world needs parameters.
Amen.
This world needs, hey, here's who's in, and here's who's out, and here's why.
Yes. Yeah.
The most evangelistic kingdom thing you can do is join your stinking local church.
Yeah.
And then when people want to, bring them to your church. Bring them to church.
Yeah.
Let them see, hey, this is a little foretaste. This is a little foretaste.
Yeah.
See, this is a little foretaste. People in your life, they need your faithfulness to a local church.
That's right. Wow.
So make sure it's biblically faithful and join it. Also, number three, go. I'm bringing those first three guys.
Go deep, Steve.
I know, that's okay.
Go deep, Steve.
Go deep.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Here we go, kids. Go to church. I got three things I want to say about that. Go to church every single Sunday.
Yep.
Second thing, go to church every single Sunday. Number three. Don't be stealing my. Go to church every single Sunday. You go faithfully to church. Sean killed it yesterday talking about baptism.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're watching that person be baptized and join the local church, you're saying, "Come on in."
Yeah. That's right.
You're saying we believe that you're going to walk in newness of life, and we're gonna talk to you about it when we don't think you are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. We expect you to talk to us when we aren't.
Yes. Yeah.
You're one of us now. It's the same thing with the Lord's Supper. Same thing. The Lord's Supper, you don't eat the Lord's Supper unworthily.
Right.
If you're sleeping with your girlfriend, don't eat the Lord's Supper.
Right.
If you're sleeping with your girlfriend, don't eat the Lord's Supper. If you're sleeping with your girlfriend, do not eat the Lord's Supper.
Right.
People die over this.
Yeah.
Right. The Bible says,
right.
This is why some of you are dead.
Yep.
Well, the Bible says, why do people die? Why do people die younger than they should?
Yeah.
They ate the supper unworthily.
That's
so,
right.
So what we do, of course, it's good to when we're about to take the bread, take the cup. It's good for us to sit in and just contemplate and to think and to as Scripture says, often examine ourselves.
Yes.
Make our calling sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it's also good to look around.
Yep.
And look around. And say, my Germany is about to eat the Lord's Supper. He shouldn't be. I gotta talk to that guy.
Yeah.
This is a matter of life and death. Because when you are, and Mike Jeremy, you're fine, dude. You can do it. Leave the basketball alone. Go on. I know, actually, Mike, I pick on you, but man, yesterday you were playing football, sort of, and I watched.
Hey, you leave this down around.
Beautiful. But beautiful pass.
They won it, man.
And Mike went up. It was ESPN Sports Center. But he just barely missed. It was awesome.
That was my fault. I did it.
I touched it at the same time.
I can't tell, but it was beautiful, except for that, you know, the way that it was. Anyhow, when I am looking around, though, I'm looking around the Lord's Supper, and what I'm saying is because one day we're gonna have the real supper.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm saying in my heart, in my mind, I firmly believe. These people are going to be eating and drinking with me.
That's right.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
Forever and ever.
Yeah.
This is us. We belong. We are citizens. I got no reason to think that they're on the outside looking in. I think they're in. I think I'm in. They think I'm in because they're letting me eat the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
All these people who know me. They know me. They think I'm in. Is there anything better than that?
No.
Why would you not go to church on Sunday?
Amen.
All right. Last one. Number four. Stay with your local church. Stay with it. Is your local church still biblically faithful? Stay with it.
Amen.
Stay with it. Be there until God in His providence moves you to a different part of the country.
Right.
Stay with people who know your weaknesses, they know your flaws, they know your temptations, they know your abnormalities. They know because you publicly said, I got to be kinder. I have to be more patient. I have to. So they say to you, hey, that wasn't patient. You're like, I'm right. You're right. Pray for me. I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. They know you. You know them. Someone who knows me for 10, 20, 30 years, their rebuke and their encouragement needs to know so much more.
Yeah.
Stay with your local church. Jesus has given unique kingdom authority to the biblically faithful local church. If you want to commit yourself wholeheartedly to the kingdom of God, you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to a biblically faithful local church. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for your word. We thank you for the confidence that it gives us. We cannot enter, seek, or convince others of the kingdom of God without you.
Right, yes.
In your name we pray all this. Amen.
Amen.